This is the London FinTech Podcast, brought to you by your host, Mike Ballaman, bridging the worlds of suits and t-shirts, of finance and technology, bringing you insights, stories, and inspiration from the golden age of opportunity and innovation happening in London right now.
Hi, this is Mike Ballaman, and this is London FinTech Podcast, episode 70. Brought to you in association with Archover, Smart Pension and Synchron. I'm delighted to be joined today by Ishan Mali, founder and CEO at online mortgage brokers Trussell, who have just raised £4.5 million in a Series A and have an exclusive partnership and investment from Zoopla, the FTSE 250 property search firm. In the prior episode, the always tasty LFP 069, we dived into the topic of IFAs and advice around investments. However, there's another side to the coin. If in a sense the prior episode was about how you might get advice on your assets, then this episode is about the opposite, how you might get advice on your liabilities, your borrowings. Of course, as a podcaster, I lead a lifestyle which would put Johnny Depp's into the shadows and don't need advice around liabilities. Mind you, from what I read, Johnny Depp might need some advice over liabilities at the moment. Me, I just turn out another podcast and it's another $1 million in the bank. Not a bad life, eh? So far, so good, but my late teenage daughters will be hitting that wall in a few years' time. You know, the one where for the first time in your life, you find out that abstract mathematical ratios like average house price to average income really mean something to you in practice. If, like me, you had just kind of went for a few offers and took the best available, or maybe you did okay, maybe less so. Back in the day, there were mortgage brokers, but pretty much with a kind of reputation that on the way out from the meeting, you'd check your Rolex watch was still on your wrist. As we discussed in LFP 069, robo-advice is another overhyped term from the States, which promises much but in practice delivers absolutely nothing that real financial advisors would recognise as real advice. But is this different for mortgages? Trussell's website says, the hassle-free way to get a mortgage online. We search more than 11,000 deals from 90 lenders to find the perfect mortgage for you, which promises the kind of frictionless, data-enriched journey that on the surface of it will mean that my daughter's mortgage experience is far simpler and far more effective than mine never was. Too good to be true? Let's find out. Plenty to talk about, so let's get on with the show. Hi, Ishan. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, we'll come on to your career in a minute, but how did you get the entrepreneurial bug slash virus slash disease?
Yeah, bug, virus, disease.
All of the above at the same time.
Having just come out of fundraising, I think I can sympathise with those descriptions. You know, I've grown up in a household of entrepreneurs. My parents, when they moved over from India to the UK, probably around the 70s, they didn't have any formal sort of education. Building a business was sort of what they knew how to do. So I've always had that in my blood from a very young age. I actually chose the corporate path. But as you can see, I've now gone full circle.
Well, it's interesting, these kind of things, because how's this going to work out? Your grandchildren are probably completely unentrepreneurial. So my great-grandfather was Swiss, and for some absolutely insane reason, which I wish he'd never done, they moved to the UK, although at the time England probably had its attractions. I'm not quite sure of the dates of it all, actually. It all sort of went a bit wrong, really, in that his descendants are now living in a country with absolutely crap weather and emigrating for Europe and all that kind of thing. Anyway, he must have been entrepreneurial. I never met him and I don't know so much about him, because I understand he was on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco when it opened. And in those days, that was quite a long way to go from San Francisco. I just wish he'd gone back to Switzerland. So then these days I'd be living in a country with nice weather, with representative democracy, and it's sort of civilised. And
you might be able to afford one of those Rolexes that you lost on
yes,
the way
exactly.
out.
Yes, exactly. I see you eyeing my $5 watch. I try and live in this world of pretense, you see. That's the good thing about sort of oral podcasts, is that I can sort of come up with these sort of claims, and as long as people like you don't give the game away, then people can actually believe the fact that I've got a Lamborghini outside. So you mentioned that you used to have, quotes, a proper job. It used to be called 9 to 5, but it's probably sort of 0700 to 2100 as it was in the city. So what did you do after university then?
So I did an internship at one of the big investment banks, a big American investment bank.
So what were the hours then?
The hours were pretty inconsistent, pretty unpredictable, and not really in the everyday is different sense, more in a you will be working consistently morning to evening sense. I was actually living at home at the time, so if the long day in itself wasn't enough, I had about an hour and a half commute of underground change station, another underground, then an overground, change platforms, and then would have to drive from the station. But I guess I shouldn't complain because I did have an investment banking salary at the time.
Okay, and then I can't quite remember, strangely, I'm not so familiar with your LinkedIn as you might be, but you did actually, and this is sort of pertinent, we were just talking before about actually artificial intelligence and key success factors for fintechs and all that, and one of the ones that I've seen, which is something of a predictor, is if the founder of the fintech actually knows a hell of a lot before he starts about what he's doing. It sounds really obvious, but actually you would be amazed, or you wouldn't be amazed, how many people don't seem to notice that and start in some area they have no background in. But strangely, some strange reason, you've always been fascinated by UK mortgages.
So I'd love to appear and be straight with you and say that that was more deliberate than it actually has been. But it's been very serendipitous. I actually have a background both in financial services and in technology. So the fact that I'm a founder of a fintech company could seem like I had it all planned out. Not necessarily the case. After 2 years in the bank within the mortgages and real estate team, I left in pursuit of a career working closer to early stage technology. So I spent the best part of 9 to 12 months working with, for, and investing in early stage tech startups. I actually went as far as swearing never to work in mortgages again. And as luck would have it, here we are right now talking about mortgages. But it was along that journey that I came across and faced the problem firsthand of what would later become Trussell.
Oh, excellent. Well, it makes more sense than you lay it out in a way, which is that the third part of the equation after the fin and the tech was to understand more the world of startups and all that kind of stuff. Because again, you know, I see so many people that sort of blunder into it and really haven't got much background. And Smart Pension, I mentioned earlier, one of the things that impressed me about Will on the show was that he took a pay cut from the city and went to work for eBay well back in the day.
Sure.
You know, literally sort of photocopying and going and getting the coffees and all that kind of stuff. But as a result of which, he learned a hell of a lot about all this online world. You know, it's a real proper education as opposed to, oh, yeah, I know what online is. You know, I look at websites and that kind of thing. So it's put you in good stead. And I'm sure you're right, because you're you, which is a great advantage in knowing what you're thinking. But in terms of saying that it wasn't deliberate, but what I was thinking when you were talking, it's a bit like, now you don't live with your parents, you go home in the evening and you open the cupboard and you've got, like, I don't know, you've got some chicken and you've got some rice and you've got some tomatoes. Well, actually, then you end up making something with the ingredients that you've actually got in the house. And I think it tends to be the same thing with careers. The more kind of things you can combine from the background, the more of a unique person it makes you.
Yeah, I definitely believe you make your own luck, and every bit of experience you have leads you to the next thing. I won't bore you with it, but I can almost remember every single week from leaving the bank in pursuit of a career in technology to where I was today. And one quick anecdote was that actually one of our first angel investors is someone that I met in the week that I was transitioning from the bank to my field in technology, where he was a speaker on a panel discussion and was speaking about the emerging overlap of real estate and technology. So when I saw him later on in the journey, I went straight to him when I had the seed of an idea. And as it would happen, he was then the first angel investor to write us a check.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it shows that, I mean, another thing, again, which is underestimated from the sort of kind of academic-y spin on all this. Well, I'm not really sure you can be academic about entrepreneurialism, but that's another contentious subject. But it's one of the things which is immensely valuable, and I quite often forget it, is getting out there on the streets, just meeting people and all that kind of stuff, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. I'm always connecting people together, and you know, I meet people myself from a networking perspective, and having been independent for 19 years myself. Almost never do you go and have a coffee with someone tomorrow or next week and it leads to something immediately. You know, you never get $1 million the next day or whatever. But quite often it's a sort of a seed which then many years in the future ends up sort of flowering into something at the right time. Okay, there must be enough metaphor fest. So as it's late in the day and my right brain is engaged and my left brain has gone to sleep, you can revivify me, Sean, if you don't mind, by telling me in great detail about the UK mortgage market and the sort of fascination it holds for you. And why don't we just start with sort of, especially for our overseas listeners, what the UK mortgage market is. I mean, how big is it and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. So not sure the most enthralling topic to be talking about at the end of the day, facts about the UK mortgage market.
Well, having done your Series A, you've probably been talking about it so much that
you're exactly
about to pivot into something completely different.
So it should be front of mind. But no, when you look at the UK market in particular, there is a real behavioural attitude towards ownership, towards owning a home. You know, today you have £200 billion or over £200 billion of mortgage lending each year. You have 1.2 million individual mortgages and hundreds of thousands of people getting on the property ladder for the first time. There's a real sense of the aspirations of owning a home in this country. And as of a few years ago, getting advice for what is the biggest financial and indeed emotional decision of your lives has become mandatory.
So mandatory?
Exactly. So the FCA have mandated that getting a mortgage must be an advised sale, which threw all kinds of problems, and speaking on behalf of an entrepreneur, all kinds of opportunities to then solve this kind of area.
Hang on, just as I pick up my jaw from the floor. So if I've understood correctly, if I go and get a mortgage tomorrow, some state body says I have to take advice?
So whether you would go direct to a bank or you were to use an independent broker, which 75% of people would typically choose, you will need to be advised on that sale. And really, this was an act called MMR, so the Mortgage Market Reform, in response to the happenings of the credit crisis to ensure that mortgages were being sold in a legitimate and robust way.
Gosh, so I mean, I was joking earlier about not having had a mortgage for some time, which is unfortunately true, but I'm staggered at the concept that, he says, being pompous and sort of old, that someone with sort of 30 years in FS, I go along and I have to get advice from some nipper at a bank who would then say, oh, I'm not sure that's all right, sir, here's the rules for it kind of stuff. I became very wound up this year about the never-ending growth of an estate. Blimey, that's amazing. Well, I really have learned something. Why don't they do it on important things like marriages? I mean, plenty of marriages end in divorce. Far more marriages end in divorce than sort of mortgages go wrong, actually. So, actually, I better be quiet.
Maybe that's the next startup.
Well, exactly. That's the next startup. That'll be the next sort of state regulation. Before you're allowed to get married, you've got to go and see someone for some test on that.
I think you could also call them an independent financial advisor, for what it's worth.
Yes. So, anyway, over £200 billion of mortgages out there. You know, so 1.2 million mortgages, and the vast majority of people are taking advice, and it's some sort of mandatory thing. So, as we were talking about last time, on the investment side, the RDR, more status stuff, said that basically if you're advising people on investments, you're not allowed to get commissions from the people providing the investments. You have to charge a fee to the person you're giving the advice to. So that's on one side of the balance sheet. On the other side of the balance sheet, which is the liabilities, for reasons I don't fully understand. No, you can carry on, innit?
Yeah.
So in mortgages, is it the case that some mortgage advisors will charge a fee to the clients and some won't and they will all take commissions? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, exactly. So the business model really for mortgage brokers, whether you're online, whether you're offline, high street, you know, algorithmically generated, is really up to the broker. So every single mortgage broker that is FCA registered will earn what's called a procuration fee from the lender, which is a fraction of a percent.
Is the procuration fee like in football called a bung, where they're given a few quid?
It's a bit more than a few quid, unfortunately. It's a bit more than a few quid, but it varies on the mortgage size. So on average, the mortgages are around £190,000 in the UK. Let's say the typical procuration fee is somewhere between 0.35 and 0.4%. So you'd be looking at earning around £700 per mortgage. However, what some brokers will choose to do is charge both sides of the marketplace. So not just earn from the lender, but also charge the client anything from £300 right up to 1% of the mortgage amount.
Wow. So these are quite big numbers, aren't they, really? Okay, so as we talked last time's podcast, the motivation of the FCA on the investment side was to ensure that there was no kind of agency challenge, as it were, which is that the agent, i.e. the advisor, has a potential conflict of interest between doing the very best for the client or actually getting a few quid himself. And if you can be the best advisor on investments in the world and you're getting commissions and you recommend the best investment, which gives you zero commission, you'll starve to death, and as will your children, which will sort of put you off the whole game quite a bit. And in its infinite wisdom, the FCA clearly didn't take that line on the mortgage advice side. So how does the industry as a whole, and we'll come to Trussell in a minute, but how does the industry as a whole handle this obvious conflict of interest, which if I'm advising you on a mortgage and lender X is going to pay me 0.5% and lender Y is going to pay me 0.1%, well, funnily enough, other things being equal, or not even entirely equal, I might have some inclination to do one rather than t'other.
It's a really interesting point, and it's something that the FCA has spoken about. It's something that the Competition Market Authority are talking about. Right now, they're doing a large report on competition in the industry, and having a consistent and structured form of advice is a hot topic right now. There's 15,000 independent high street brokers out there. What you could say is that there's 15,000 different types of advice. There's 15,000 different types of biases. There's 15,000 different types of quality of service. it's a nice segue to what we're doing here, because we feel that technology can actually remove those biases. We think technology can allow you to have a very consistent and structured form of advice that can be clearly audited by the regulators and by anyone else, so that there can be no consumer or regulator or lender concerns that one broker has a bias towards a lender that pays them more than the other, let's say.
Yes, it's interesting. I mean, I think the bigger picture is the price comparison websites. I mean, I'm glad to say I've lost track of it, but every now and then somebody comes out and it's done some review of it, and actually time and time again they gave the wrong answer, because everybody seems to know that, I mean, let's take electricity or something. If I type in an electricity comparison website, from what I understand, just some readings of free newspapers on the train and other such sources of wisdom, surprise, surprise, they're more likely to recommend me EDF or put it near the top or something like that. And even the likes of Google are getting tripped up by the EU Commission and those people for sort of sticking theirs at the top. So it's an obvious challenge across every segment, not just mortgages, but every online segment of comparison. And the point that you're making is a good one. I think there was something talking about Google some time ago about Google News. I mean, how come Google News is independent? Well, I mean, fake news and mainstream news and all this kind of stuff, and it's not got bogged down in it. But I think that their defense at the time was, oh, it's algorithmically generated. Let's put to one side where the algorithm itself has got biases. But at least they can then say, well, we didn't affect it. You know, we didn't put in a pro-Trump story, an anti-Trump story into Mike's feed or all that kind of stuff. So
it's only as good as its inputs in this case.
Yes. So let's just take the Trussell case then. Let's not have you defend all these zillions of high street mortgage advisors out there. So in the Trussell case, let's just take a simple case. So one of the listeners is about to get a mortgage or about to get a remortgage. And they go, oh, wow, that Ishan sounds quite good. He puts up with Mike's baiting him constantly. And he's... firm sounds like a good one, and you've got good partnership with Zoopla, and you've got the resources and 11,000 mortgages, da-da-da-da-da. And this person then scratches their metaphorical head or real head and says, how do I know they're really looking after me? Because they're a business, they're trying to make profit, yada-yada-yada, and your answer to them is...
You're right, we are a business. Ultimately, this comes down to brand. We are solving a problem that was born out of my own frustration from my own poor experience with a mortgage broker. The whole product, the design, the service has been built around the customer and been built with that in mind. So if you go back to my experience, at the time I was a contractor, as I'm sure many of your listeners will be able to relate to. I was contracting from one job to another. I didn't have the proof of renewal, and it turned out that because of some intricate detail about a lender's underwriting criteria and their treatment of contractors, I was in a position where I wasn't able to get a mortgage. And that was after hours and hours trawling through comparison sites, which, whilst they presented vast amounts of options to me, they gave me very little context of whether or not I was eligible for any of the lenders or whether or not any of the products they showed me were suitable for me. Ultimately, I found a mortgage broker after trawling through a few that looked at my situation, took a few details, and told me I wasn't eligible to get a mortgage. So rather than trying to solve that problem, I thought, right, let me try and build a business and make this easier for other people. And the way that we work is you can go online at any time of day, you can enter your details in from any device, and in another 10 minutes, we will have compared your details and matched them against the optimal product and lender for you. So we'll trawl through 11,000 products from over 90 lenders, and we will know the product and the lender that is most suitable for you.
So there's an interesting point in that we'll come back to about the complexity of it. But just finishing off on the simple point. So are you saying that in the trawl, in the algorithm, in the clever thing the computer does, that one of those factors isn't how much trust will get out of it? Because you're in the business of building a long-term business of giving advice.
Exactly. We're trying to build a transparent online mortgage broker in this industry. This is one of the biggest financial decisions people are ever going to take. Yeah. We think technology can cut through the complexity, remove the hassle, and ensure a fair mortgage service, mortgage advisory service, is given to everyone.
Yes. Now, transparency is a very good word in fintech, and in particular sort of the P2Ps I've been sort of baiting for some time on this, because they all talk no end about transparency, and then, you know, the average P2P doesn't tell you how much fees they're taking out of the middle, which to me seems more opaque than transparent when I last looked at the dictionary. But in your case, do you disclose the commissions on this thing? So if I get a mortgage from you, do you say, oh yeah, and by the way, Mike, we're taking 0.15% from the lender on this, or do you see that as not relevant because actually you've given me the best deal?
So we do, and we would do it from a brand value point of view because we believe in being transparent. Actually, through a regulatory obligation, we have to. So there is a document called a KFI, which stands for Key Facts Illustration, which will outline all of the details around the particular mortgage. Within that, it will outline the exact fee that we earn from that particular lender.
Right, okay. So it is actually using transparent in the proper way, unlike many fintechs who use it in an improper way, meaning opaque. So anyway, the most important dimension you've added there, which I hadn't really sort of touched on before, just taking a sort of simplistic, you know, thinking, which is that, oh, somebody wants to borrow £100,000 and what's the price from 11,000 people? As you say, it's far more complex than that because the circumstances come in. I mean, it's good job I'm not after a mortgage because having been independent sort of entrepreneur, advisor, consultant, director for 19 years, I have nothing that a mortgage broker would like. You know, I don't even have a bloody utility bill anymore, which every time I go near a bank, they ask me for one in the antediluvian fashion. But the complexity arises, as you say, because mortgages aren't like buying, I don't know, for example, copper by the ton. They're a very complex thing, and they need to know quite a lot about you. And so, going back to my experience, I'd go around and see a bunch of building societies or whatever. It wasn't very far from Clarwell Benson. I could pop there in the lunch and just about get it over and done with and come back. And as you say, fill in loads of forms and all that. So there's two things about this, which is as a fintech, you're reducing the friction. So metaphorically speaking, if my daughter's in 5 years trying to get mortgages and they go to Trussell, it'll be far easier because they bung in presumably their details. And how does that work from a kind of IT perspective? I mean, how many dimensions of complexity are there that you need to capture for me or my daughters? I mean, is it literally you want 10 parameters and then you check those 10 parameters against the 11,000, or is it 100 parameters?
When you think about a mortgage, this is largely what a lot of the big banks' businesses are built on. This is the biggest financial commitment someone will take. It's the largest loans that banks will issue. There's a lot that goes into it. It's probably the most rigorous application form people will ever have to fill in. And as a result, there's a lot of risk involved. And I think one of the key words to sum up the whole process is uncertainty. We believe that through the technology that we built, we can reduce a lot of that uncertainty. In our process, if you think about it, there are 90 different lenders out there. Each one of those lenders will have wildly different underwriting criteria and ways of assessing risk than the next one. They'll have different ways of assessing your income, how you earn your income, how your income is structured. Do you earn monthly bonuses? Do you earn annual bonuses? Do you earn weekly commission? They'll look at your outgoing slightly different, whether or not you have loans, credit cards, what those loans are on. Are they payday loans? Are they student loans? And then again, there's the property that you're looking to purchase, the property that you're looking to borrow money to finance that purchase. Is that a flat? Is that a flat above a commercial property? Is the commercial property a pet shop or a fish and chip shop?
I remember when I came to London, I went to see an estate agent and they said, oh, there's this great flat. It was a really good price for Hampstead and, you know, nice view and all that kind of stuff. How long has it been on the market? Oh, a little while. And I was thinking, well, this is a bit suspicious. Why is that? I said, look, without wasting my time, oh, no, it's a very nice flat, so da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, in the end, before I actually had to go and see it, I got them to admit it was above an undertaker's.
Right.
And opposite Hampstead Hospital, whatever it's called. So the whole night there'd be dead bodies coming in below, which was a bit off-putting, so it does depend on what it's above. So coming back to the form filling then. So when I hear you say that, I'm then sort of assuming that, oh my word, it must be a nightmare filling in a Trussell form, because then you presumably have got to take all the, for the sake of argument, 90 different forms for these 90 different things and ask every question yourself.
You're right in many ways in that it is a standardisation problem. There are 90 different lenders with different nuanced criteria against property, affordability, risk assessment, and your individual situation. And what we've tried to do is cut through all of that complexity and wrap it up in a really nice, clean user interface facing the consumer. So that doesn't take away from the fact that we still need to provide that information. But to paraphrase one of our Trustpilot reviews, the way the design is displayed is that we can take what is traditionally a fraught process and make it not only bearable, but also enjoyable.
Okay, so in terms of the bearability and enjoyability, and you're standing at the moment like my hygienist, who said, oh, no, it's always a very enjoyable process these days, as I sort of sit there and wince. What is the typical time? And as you say, you are trying to simplify processes which aren't your processes. You're not the lenders. The lenders are asking for all this kind of stuff. So, you know, if I or my daughters went round to the lenders one by one, I'd be filling in the forms.
Exactly.
Typically, how long would it take someone to complete your sort of form and give you the data in order to do that? 5 minutes, 5 hours?
We've actually had one customer that completed the form on a treadmill at 7 a.m. The average time to complete a form is 12 minutes.
So it's not as bad as I was guessing from what you were saying then?
No, but take the traditional approach. You might have to wait 3 weeks to get an appointment with your bank branch manager, sit down, and that won't take any less than an hour and a half. I've sat in the room with those that work in the mortgage divisions of different banks saying they can't get it done under than 2 hours. This is 12 minutes at any time of day from any device without having to charge a fee.
Okay, so then it seems to me that what you're offering the punters is a less frictional, easier, simpler journey that ends up giving them a better deal than they would if they tried to go around one by one in the lunch hour.
Well, to quote you earlier, Mike, this is the hassle-free way to get a mortgage online.
Excellent. Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you could transfer those bitcoins to my account earlier. I've let you off. Now I've got to beat you up somehow, having been being nice about you. So another aspect of bringing this pretty traditional market into the 21st century is around quality control. So, you know, remembering my fun with estate agents or not in the past and all that kind of stuff, and the, you know, sort of the spiffy brokers they had and all that kind of thing. I look at them and go, One thing the interweb seems to do quite well to a certain extent these days is quality control. So if I buy something on eBay, I can find out that, you know, this place has got really good ratings and this one hasn't. And you mentioned Trustpilot. So how do you think that sort of tech is working in terms of quality control of the mortgage advisory market?
As I mentioned earlier, there's a real need for consistency in this model. Technology allows you to be a lot more unbiased. Technology allows you to be a lot more transparent. What we're able to do with the technology and the way that we've designed the service is to be completely impartial in our approach of getting you approved on the mortgage and the lender that's right for you. And that really shines through in our reviews. As you mentioned, from a transparency point of view, the internet has surfaced a lot of them. For the first year, we really were testing and learning and trying to refine our approach. You know, we started out the blocks thinking we want to build what many people in the industry are calling a robo-advisor, an entirely online and automated form of advice. And what we've realized and warmed to and sympathized with is that actually people do want a bit of a personal touch from time to time.
So tell me about that, because I did see on your website that actually you want to speak to a person, you can speak to a person, you don't just call up a PC.
So I believe, again, quoting the FCA, I believe that they call for an interactive dialogue between the mortgage advisor, a qualified mortgage advisor, and the customer looking to get a mortgage. Now, that could take place over live chat, that could take place over the telephone, it could take place face-to-face, as it does today in the vast majority of cases, and has done over the last few decades. As we realise this is one of the biggest purchases, we don't want to restrict you to having to do this entirely online. Most people, and in fact many people, do prefer to doing this online, but many people will also want to pick up the phone and hear a reassuring human voice that the option the algorithm has delivered is in fact the best one for them.
Yes, indeed. And you know, I've flogged this one to death a little bit, but the robo-advice is a bullshit term, and the whole idea that a robot or a computer can provide advice in a massively complex field that most FS is whether it's mortgages or whether it's pensions, is a complete load of crap. And I noticed on Twitter this morning that one of the larger robo-advisors, surprise, surprise, was getting around to hiring human beings.
Right.
Who would actually start doing some of the advice behind the scenes. So on this point about complexity of FS, computers can do more and more, but actually sometimes not only do people want to speak to humans, but sometimes you do need a human being because computers can't do everything yet. How do you see that balance yourself, Ishan?
So there's a really delicate balance between the human intervention and automation. That's something that we've learned a lot about. One of our values is that we're enabled by technology and powered by people. Even if we do get to a point where this is 100% automated.
You could also be the opposite. You could be powered by technology and enabled by people.
It's a versatile value. But if we get to a point where we're able and we are, let's say, allowed by the regulatory framework to offer entirely automated advice, or rather, if there's a point where the FCA are not only condoning but supporting fully automated advice, we may still be at a point where the qualified mortgage brokers are the ones feeding the inputs. The qualified mortgage brokers are the ones that customers want to speak to at the end of a phone. And until we've tested that out, we just don't know.
Well, a number of people have been speaking to me recently about Tristan Fletcher, who was on last autumn talking about machine learning and AI. And he's got a massive background, without going all over that again, in that kind of stuff. And knows far more than me. And he was talking about the caveats of a black box on anything, really, whether it's sort of, you know, doctors or mortgages or anything. So We've covered quite a lot. And before we wrap up the show, I'd like to thank the listeners, as always. Thank you to every one of you. You're most appreciated. I'd also like to thank my brand partners for the podcast, Archover, Smart, Simple and Transparent P2P Business Lending. Loans up to £3 million for SMEs, delivering up to 7% secured and insured returns to lenders. Smart Pension, who are fast, secure and free. Check out their UK workplace pensions at autoenrollment.co.uk. Cinequon, digital, business consulting and technology services for top-tier FS. From start-up to 6,000 people, 16 countries and $400 million of revenue. So, tell us a bit more about Trussell and Ishan. Where are you? Where are you going? What kind of people do you want? What are your ambitions? How are you going to spend all these millions of pounds?
As you kindly mentioned, we did just close a recent round of funding of £4.5 million, which is great validation for us. It's great validation for, you know, the problem that we sought to solve and the whole reason that we founded this business.
How long ago was it founded?
I founded the business in January 2015. We actually launched our beta in December 2015, at which point we were the UK's first online mortgage broker. We raised a seed round of funding last January of £1 million. And 12 months on, here we are. We've just raised another round of funding. We've just hit a massive milestone for the business of £1 billion mortgages under management. And we're now a team of around 20, and we're looking to use this raise to rapidly expand, to grow the brand, to develop the proposition, and to grow the team.
And one phrase in there which probably is explaining or unpicking, which we haven't talked about yet, which is you say £1 billion of mortgages under management. So in what sense are you managing the mortgage?
So the reason we phrase it like that, you know, you'd be forgiven for confusing a liability like a mortgage like an asset and looking at us like a fund manager. And in many ways, that's the way we think about things. Mortgages are these long-term liabilities that too often people forget.
Absolutely. People manage their assets and they don't manage their liabilities. Why?
You know, let's be straight. Managing your asset of a house is far more attractive than managing your liability of a two-year fix from a high street lender. But really what people are starting to cotton onto is the fact that £3,500 a year are being wasted by people forgetting to switch to a better mortgage. As a result, we founded this service. People can now go online, import their existing mortgage details, and have peace of mind that we'll notify them when it's time to switch.
Excellent. I had some idea a few years ago, but never sort of got anywhere. I couldn't find the right people to do it with. Of a very similar idea in like the electricity and the gas market. Because what happens, you go to a comparison website, you get some good deal, it's all really cheap, and then surprise, surprise, they jack up the price a few months later. And I wanted to create a business which would guarantee to give you for a small fee the best prices for electricity and gas. It would just monitor all the deals every day and then switch you automatically and yada, yada, yada.
So as you mentioned, this notion exists in energy. It has existed in energy. Here we're talking about potential savings of 10 times more on your mortgage than what you could currently save by switching your energy provider.
So for people who are listening, can they, the UK ones, go to your site, enter their details and you start quotes managing their mortgage for them?
Exactly. So if you go to the website, trussell.com, you click Get Started, you can input your existing mortgage details in under 5 minutes, and you can sit back, you never have to deal with this admin or headache again.
I shall go out and take a mortgage just for that purpose. Good, okay, so people can go to you and get you to check out on their behalf 11,000 mortgages. We've explained all that. People can go to you with their existing mortgages, and they can stick it in your system and then get emails telling them how much they can save if they switch, which is a really useful service which doesn't cost them any much. The other category of people that are listening to the show are people who are in jobs and might want to help take some of your money and grow your business, all that kind of stuff. So what kind of people are you looking for on that side, Ishan?
So as part of this raise, we're looking to grow the team across all areas. We're looking to expand on product, looking for software engineers, designers, product managers, but also mortgage brokers. If there are any mortgage brokers that are listening, it's one of the hardest positions that we've had to fill at the moment. Any areas of the business, be it marketing, product, we're really expanding aggressively this year and looking forward to growing the team.
And people can check out the website. Good. Well, time's flown by as always, and I'm left with sort of the bitter taste in my mouth that you didn't exist whenever it was 20 or 30 years ago when I was looking for mortgages, because it was, and many people on the show probably weren't born then, but it was when I was taking a mortgage, a right pain in the arse, and I'm sure I didn't get the right answer. And as you might imagine, I can get very cynical about fintech being immersed in the sort of total sort of bullshit PR and hype that comes out. But inside fintech, there are some firms who are genuinely adding value and who people would be quite crazy not at least to check out and make their own decision about whether they're relevant or not. So congratulations on the raise, congratulations on where you've been, and I wish you every success on your journey, Ishan.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. If you have consulting, advisory / non-exec or media needs in the FS or fintech space, get in touch with me at mike@LondonFintechPodcast.com.
could sit in a bender all day, watching the firelight dance, watching the firelight dance. We could walk in the mountains before dawn, watching a happy moon ride, watching a happy moon ride. To come away from the city, with the tarmac so dead and the people so sad. Come away from the city, with the faces so gray, with the pain of the everyday. Like the mountains and the trees, can you see what I mean? Can you see what I mean? We fit in between the earth and the sky. Kiss the city goodbye, wave the city goodbye, wave the city goodbye, city goodbye. Watch the firelight dance with me, 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 watch the firelight dance.